Okay, good morning. So the topic that I was given was Kedushas HaBayis, and would Hashem want to live in your house, right? So that's an allusion to a statement of Chazal that we'll get to in a moment. Now, obviously, the simplest interpretation that one can have of that is relates to what is going on in the house. In general, when you go to buy a new house, I think that most people look at a number of different things. So you go to buy a new house, you want to see, is it the right size? Is it in the right neighborhood? Is it the right kind of layout for your family that you need? What kind of condition is it in? That's all great, but Hashem only moves into homes that people are already living in. He has no interest in moving into a home, you know, just based on the structure and the location. Location is important, obviously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose a prime location for his home. And I'm talking, obviously, on the Har HaBayis. But nevertheless, our homes, we choose based on these types of things. And the question really is, what's going on inside the house that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to or not want to dwell among us? So obviously, there's a lot of different ways you can take this in terms of how much Torah and mitzvos are coming from inside the house, and in terms of how much, you know, what is being seen by entertainment-wise inside the house. These are all important things that definitely need to be spoken about at length. But for today, I'm going to focus on one specific thing, and it's actually the second source. These sources were not put on the page in any particular order. So the second source, the famous comment by the Yalkut Shimoni, which is Darash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshaned Ish v'Isha, a husband and a wife, Zachu, if they merit, Shechina b'neihem. Right? The Shechina dwells amongst them. Lo zachu, and if they did not merit, eish ochaltan. They are consumed by fire. So that's a cheerful thought. That if a person lives in a certain way, that he merits whatever it means to merit between a husband and a wife, so the Shechina lives among them. And if not, they are consumed by fire. And it's actually a simple, you know, a simple case of wordplay to understand this yesod. Right, so what do you have? You have the word ish, right? You have the man, and then you have the isha. So you have the woman. So they're basically the same word. What's the only difference between the two words? Right, so you have the shame of Hashem, right? They have the yud and the hey. So if they are zoche, if they merit being one, if they are zoche, whatever, we'll discuss exactly what a person does to merit it, but if you merit such a thing, so then the Shechina, the name of Hashem, dwells among them. But if they are not zoche, so if they remove the yud from the ish and the hey from the isha, eish ochaltan. All you have left is the eish. All that remains is the fire that consumes. And it's similar to a comment that they used to tell, very cheerful comment, they used to tell Chasanim in Eretz Yisrael in the times of the Gemara. Gemara in Brachos tells, comes up in, I think, Yevamos also. It says, B'ma'arava ki nasiv inish isisa. In Eretz Yisrael, in the west. Ma'arava refers to the west, which was to the west of Bavel. So when a man would get married to a woman, they used to say to him, Amr lehachi. You know, there was always that one guy who grabs you aside and tells you his great advice. So they used to grab the guy and tell him, we have some advice for you. And they used to say, Motza o Motza. Right? I'm not exactly sure what the intonation was, but they basically said, is it going to be a case of Motza or is it going to be a case of Motza? So that meant something. What does it mean? Motza, if it's Motza, dichsiv, Matza isha, matza tov, v'yafek ritzon me Hashem. If a person has found a wife, he has found goodness, and it will bring out the positive will of Hashem. Right? So that's good. Basically, that you have found the best thing that you're ever going to find, if it's matza. Motza, what does that mean? So that's a fairly less cheerful pasuk. Umotza ani, and I have found mar mimavis, something that is more bitter than death. Es ha'isha, and it is a wife, right? So when they used to get married in Eretz Yisrael, they would say to the person, "Motza o motza, is it something? This what kind of a marriage is it going to be? Is it going to be a matza or is it going to be a motza?" Now notice they told this to the person when he had already chosen a wife, and he was on his way to get married. So a lot of times, I just want to just back up for 1 second and clarify what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about whether or not a person picks the right spouse. Right? That's obviously an avoda unto itself, and a person has to make good choices and try to do things that, present themselves as a proper hishtadlus. Right? I mentioned in Shir the other day that there was a back in the, I don't know exactly when it was, probably the 60s, there was a big posek in Brooklyn, Rav Moshe Bick, and he, I think he was a Hungarian posek, and he came out with a takana that you need to go on a minimum of 8 dates before you get engaged. So at the time, certainly for Hungarian Jews, was unheard of. You know, they were coming from Europe where most of the marriages were arranged. And he says 8 dates was a huge chiddush. And he said that everybody has to go on at least 8 dates. And so another great Hungarian posek, the Satmar Rebbe, heard about this. And you could imagine he wasn't such a huge fan of the 8-date policy. Right, maybe the 8-minute policy, but certainly not the eight date policy. So he came out, and he was amongst many, many other things that he was an expert in. He was an expert at wordplay, and he came out with a letter against this takana, and it was entitled Katzti b'chayai al benos ches, right, which is a play on the statement of Rivka Imenu when she wanted to send Yaakov to get married in the house of Laban. She said, I can't stand the daughters of Ches. So she said, Katzti b'chayai al benos Ches. I am disgusted by the daughters of Ches. So he made a play on that word, and he basically said, what is this? We never heard of such a thing. And we'll see the Talmudic version of that takana from the Gemara in Kiddushin shortly. But the bottom line is that they brought this letter back to Rav Moshe Bick, and Rav Bick took a look at the letter, and he said, you know why? He says, because of the Satmar Rebbe, he's a tremendous Masader Kiddushin. He says, but I'm a tremendous Masader Gittin. So he says, that's why I made this takana, that you have to have at least 8 dates. Okay, so that's all about the Ishtadlus pre-Matzah O Motzah. But after you assume, you know, everybody's looking out there to find their proper zivug, their proper basheret, lemais, at the end of the day, person never knows if they made the right choice. It's impossible to know, right? That's min hashamayim. So, person makes their choice, but then they're told after the fact, it's a case of matzah o motzah. It's a case where this could be literally the greatest thing that ever happened to you or the worst, right? And we all know cases of where it's been the greatest thing, hopefully for all of us, but, you know, we all know cases where it's been the greatest thing in the world, and we all know cases where it's been the worst thing in the world. And that is up to us. What the Gemara is trying to say, the people who would give the advice were saying, it's up to you to determine whether this will be the greatest thing in the world or whether this will be the worst thing in the world. Whether your house will be a dwelling place for the Shekhinah or whether it's a place that will be consumed by fire. Hopefully not actual fire. But even so, there are certain places where you feel the place burning to the ground even as you're sitting inside. And this is something we can control. And this is something we have to try to understand that Chazal placed at an amazing premium. And in fact, the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself gives us a number of examples of this, as recorded in many different midrashim. Here I gave you from the Gemara in Yevamos. So this is the most famous part I think everybody's heard all of these little quotations from this Gemara in Yevamos, but it's an interesting sequence, right? So they said, "Dbei Rabbi Shmuel Tana." They learned in the house of Rabbi Shmuel, right? Gadol Hashalom Sheafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shina Bo. So great is peace, so great in Hashem's eyes is shalom, that even God Himself, I don't want to say lied, because that's not what the word means. The word means changed. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself altered the truth for the sake of shalom. D'mei karak siv v'adoniza kain. So we all know the pasuk that discusses when v'titzchak Sarah b'kirba, right? Sarah laughed in her own heart and she said, how could it be that we're going to have children? My husband, he said, could I possibly have children? And my husband is so old. Right, Levisov Ksiv Anizakanti. But when Hashem told it over to Avram, he said specifically, she said, how could I have children? I am so old. Right? And it's interesting, I've heard this asked by a number of different speakers. One time somebody asked, I don't understand. Did Avram not know that he was old? Did he not realize it? right? You know, so I can only think back. I'm sure everyone, you know, all the fathers in this room in their day were tremendous athletes. And we were all much, you know, and as time goes on, we got better. I mean, retroactively, I'm saying. So we all get better. And in general, I like to tell the guys how everybody, when I was a kid, was better, a better athlete than everyone is in their generation. Probably the opposite, but whatever. So we all got better as, you know, we have to play less, so to prove it. So, but we get out there and, you know, we play as best as we can. And then sometimes, you know, you just, somebody said to me that, you know, you look kind of old out there. So I know that, you know, I said, well, you know how is Kobe Bryant's doing this year? So listen, I'm older than he is, and he's a world-class athlete, and I never was, and he stays in shape, and I don't, and, you know, so I don't feel that bad about it, but still hurts a little, even though you know it's true, it still hurts a little. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't telling Avram anything he didn't already know. Sarah said, you're old. It's like, well, of course she said I'm old. I am, after all, 99 years old. That's old. By any standard, that's old. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu felt the need to change the context a little bit so that Avram Avinu wouldn't even feel that tinge of negativity toward his wife. He didn't want to feel that small amount of, you know, you still want there to be people out there who think you're the greatest thing in the world. You know, you don't want to hear that your wife thinks you're old. So Kadosh Baruch Hu changed it a little bit, not because there was going to be this huge fight after God. Oh, wait till God leaves, then you're going to hear it from me. No, I mean, like, you know, there wasn't going to be a huge fight between Avram and Sarah just because Sarah stated the obvious point that Avram was old. But nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want there to be any negativity associated with the fact that Sarah realizes the obvious truth, and therefore he changed it a little bit. So this is something we have to understand, that Gadol HaShalom, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Chosmo Emes, that his entire name is Emes, his seal is Emes, was willing to change the story a little bit, but in order that Avraham not feel somewhat bad because of his wife. So I just thought it was interesting, I noticed this morning, that it was interesting, the sequence of the Gemara that leads up to it. It says, V'am Rabbi Loa Mishum Rabbi Lazar B'Rab Shimon, K'shem She Mitzvah Adam Lomar Davar HaNishma, Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Shalom Lomar Davar She'eino Nishma. Just as it's a mitzvah to say something that people will listen to, it's also a mitzvah to remain silent when you know no one is going to listen. And Rabbi Abba Omer Chova Shenemar, right? He says it's not actually a mitzvah to not say it. It's a chiyuv. It's not just a good thing to do. It's an absolute chiyuv. If you know the person is not going to listen, you are absolutely chayev not to say anything to him about it. And he quotes a pasuk, don't give musr to a late, to a clown, to a scoffer, because he's just going to hate you. Rather, give Musar to a wise person, and he will love you. Right? There's a Bali Musar, change that pasuk around a little bit, and they say, don't give Musar to somebody by calling him a leitz, because he'll hate you for it. Right? Give Musar to somebody by calling him a chacham, and he'll love you for it. Right? You could say the same thing two different ways. You say to the guy, how could you do this? You're a leitz, you're a rasha, you're a terrible person. So every word you just said was true, but he's not going to like you too much, and he's certainly not going to listen to anything you're going to say, right? And that's what it means. That's a davar that's not going to be heard, right? And he said, that's not something that's, and therefore it's a chiyuv not to say it. Rather, you should say to the person, how could you do this? It's so beneath you. You're such a chacham. You're such a good person. This kind of activity is not you. This is not for you. This is for people who are lowly people. This is not for a great individual like yourself. And then they'll love you. And then they'll appreciate the musa that you're giving them, and they'll actually listen. And that's how it becomes a davar hanishma. That's when it becomes something that people will actually listen to. And going further, so we say that, and then we go on. V'am Rabbi Lai Mishum Rabbi Elazar B'Rab Shimon Mutar Lo La'adam L'Shanas B'Dvar HaShalom Shenemar Avicha Tziva. Right, it's mutar for a person to change the story in order to have peace, as Yosef's brother said to him a couple of weeks ago, or last week for that matter. Right, your father commanded, tell Yosef to forgive us, and then we go further, and then we say mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to change the truth because of peace. Vayomer Shmuel Echalev v'shama Shol v'hargeni. This is when Shmuel was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu to go anoint David HaMelech. So Hashem gave him a little bit of a story to tell. You're just going to go bring karbanos. You're not going to actually overturn the malchus as it is. And then we have our case that we know the best, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself changed the story from Avraham to Sarah. But I thought there was it's a tremendous sequence in the Gemara. Where do we start off from? We start off from it's a mitzvah to say things that people will listen to, but it's an iser to say things that people won't listen to. And then last but not least, we say Shalom is so great that even a Kaddish Baruch Hu changed the story a little bit. I said, if we want to understand one of the yesodos behind Shalom is, sometimes we tend to tell people things we know for a fact they're not going to listen to. Right? You can just think about Dvarim Shebein Ish Le'isha, or things that parents tell their children that they know are beyond the children. Right? Sometimes you tell your kid, oh, how come you didn't do this? You never do this. It's so... Yeah, and then the kid fights back, and you go back at him, saying, but if you have to think, I have to think, before we say things to our spouse, before we say things to our kids, we think, is this something that they're capable of doing? Right? And say, like, you never clean up. Really, never? I've never once cleaned up? Like, no, you could say, listen, I like it when you clean up, please clean up. Right? There's a different way. It's a davar hanishma. If you say something in such a way where it's never going to be heard, is not going to be listened to, then there's a mitzvah not to say it. There's a chiyuv not to say it. If you could say it in a way where it's going to be heard, it's going to be understood, then there's a mitzvah to say it. And not only that, but then we go further and we say that that's a way to create a positive atmosphere. That's a way to create shalom in the home. And then we go further and we say sometimes there even has to be a situation where you change things a little bit, where the truth is X, but what I'm going to say is either X plus 1, X minus 1, or, you know, I don't know, you can't go so far as to say the truth is X and I'm going to say Y, but the truth is X and I could say X plus 1 or X minus 1. That this is a little different than what needs, you know, that what should be said or what could be said, but it's absolutely what needs to be said. What needs to be said is something that people can actually hear and people can actually listen to, as opposed to things that are beyond people that they can't, that they realize is beyond them and that they can't actually pull it off. And that just leads to lack of shalom, that leads to arguing and fighting and things that we don't want, and that's what brings back the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina being taken out of our homes. And it's really something that we have to focus on a regular basis, right? I was in a couple of years ago. I was zocheh to go to Eretz Yisrael for 3 days. Like, landed Friday morning, flew out Sunday night. They had like a DRS Shabbaton. So I spent the Sunday in yeshiva that a lot of guys were learning in. And the guys all got up to go somewhere. So I said, oh, where are you guys headed? So they say, oh, we're having our, Shkafa Shir or Musar Shmuz. I don't know what it was. I said, what are they talking about? So they said, Shalom Bayis. So I said, really? Shalom Bayis? So they said, yeah, it's like a theme of the month or something. So I said, like, so the kid said to me, I said, I don't know why they're starting so early. I said, no, if I care, he says, they're not starting early enough. I said, so sometimes you have high school guys, or, you know, you think you don't have to talk about it, but nice. In the end of the day, it's such a priority. We see from Chazal, it's such a priority. We have to start as early as possible. And for us, so the married men who are in many ways very, very responsible for how much shalom there is in the house, so we have to constantly remind ourselves, not because we're not, you know, not because we're so bad and we're messing things up, but because things that are this important need constant chizuk, and we need to constantly remind ourselves that this is a goal. Right, so I think when this yeshiva did it, when they decided to prioritize it and make it something that guys who were 18, 19 years old were focusing on, is that they were trying to stress, we have a lot of things that we want you to set up as goals for your future in life. And if you view it as a goal, if you view it as a priority, then it's something we can actually achieve. You know, like, you just get lamashal. Let's say you have a guy and he really wants to run a marathon. He's not much of a runner, but he decided, you know, he wants to run a marathon. So that's his goal, and he sets the goal, and that goal can have all kinds of ramifications throughout life. It's not, you know, he goes to a chasana, and there's a huge shmorg, and he decides, you know, oh, he's really going to take a lot of everything, and then he says, you know what, I got to run the marathon. You know, this goal controls. You say, what does running a marathon have to do with going to a wedding? It has what to do with it. If it's an overarching goal, then it changes small areas of behavior that a person has, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to take everything, I'll just take one treat, and then I'll move on to the next, I'll move on to the next thing, because I got this goal to run a marathon. Then it moves forward, you know, then you have a person who he's feeling too tired, he doesn't want to exercise that day. So he says, you know what, all right, I'm too tired. You know, but no, but how am I ever going to be running for the marathon if I don't schlep myself out of bed and go exercise? So he gets himself out of bed and he goes to exercise, because that's his goal. He understands that this goal permeates all kinds of different behaviors in life, right? So that if you have that overarching goal, you know, person, you know, has a bad day. Person has a bad day, comes home, he's ready to go inside, and he says, you know what, you know, I had a bad day, and I'm just going to schlep myself inside and throw my stuff down and go plop down on the couch or whatever. You know what? But I have a goal. My goal is I want my home to be the type of home that the Shekhinah lives in. And that can only be in a home that's shalom. And that can only be a home in a home where there's tremendous shalom bias. And if I walk in there and I say, oh, that's it. Everybody, you know, everybody has to stop what they're doing and cater to me because I had such a bad day. So what's going to happen is maybe my wife will respond, well, I also had a hard day. You think I don't do anything? Like, well, of course, I think you do lots of things, you know. And like, maybe since you're in a bad enough mood, you might want to put down something your wife does or something like that. You know, or you might want to tell the kids, ah, you kids, you think you have a lot of homework, you think you work hard, you guys do nothing. You know, and then the kids think you don't respect them. And then, you know, all of a sudden, because we lost sight of our goal, you have all this negative energy going on in the house. And that's the type of house the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be in. That's not Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. That's Motzi Ani Mar Mimavis Esa Isha. That's a case where you have this atmosphere, nobody wants to be in it. And therefore, if we have this overarching goal and we say to ourselves, you know, I have something I really want to say. It's very, very important and it's going to be, but you know, is it going to be hurtful? So then it's not part of my goal. It's like being at the shmorg and you realize, yeah, this might be tasty, but I'm not going to be able to run the marathon in a few months. So I'll put it away. I'll keep it to myself. Right? And that's why I think it's so important that the Gemara starts off by saying, first step, kishem she mitzvah adam lomar davra nishma, kach mitzvah adam shalomar davra she'ena nishma. Sometimes the best way to maintain gadol hashalom, right? Sometimes the best way to reach the maskana of the Gemara is just keep it to yourself. Sometimes it's not that important that everything that pops into my mind has to come out of my mouth. You know, so I'm at the door and, you know, how was your day? You know, Baruch Hashem, it's all right. You know in your mind, it was horrible. Worst day. But Baruch Hashem, day was pretty good. Trust me, if you give that attitude, I'm guessing, you know, that after a little while, your wife will realize you actually had a pretty lousy day. And you know, maybe after dinner or whatever it is, she'll say, so what's on your mind? And then you could talk about it like a mensch. Then you could bring it up in such a way, and you're going to say, oh, look, my wife, she's so sympathetic. She picked up on it on her own. You know, and it's a different mahalach. But if you storm in there, just, you know, angrily that the world owes you something because, like, life was difficult today. So you have to remember, you know, sometimes I get home. I don't like to use myself as an example, but there's a guy. Now, so sometimes you get home and you just have to remind yourself before you walk in the door, whatever happened, nobody in there did it to me. You know, there's nobody in the house right now who gave me a hard time today, you know, at least since the time I left. So they don't need to suffer for what somebody else did to me. It's not their problem. It's not their responsibility. You know, we have to just, if we have that goal, if we have that overarching understanding, then we can avoid a lot of difficult situations. We can be mekayim the mitzvah ala adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. And I just want to, I never know how much time we actually have in these things. I think we're almost done. So I just want to skip to next time. Session, I'll start with the sources. I didn't do this one. So we, you know, the last Mishnah in all of Shas, Maseches Uksin, and it's Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, where we start off, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a lot of Olam Haba to Tzadikim. That's great. And you would think that would be a fantastic place to end off Shas, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a lot of Bracha to all kinds of Tzadikim. But then we throw in Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Lo Motza Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Li Yisrael Ela HaShalom. Such an interesting thing. Lo Motza Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha. What is a Kli Machzik Bracha? It's a kli, a vessel, a basket, a container that can hold bracha inside of it. You know, and I just thought that's such a great mashal for just what we're talking about in terms of shalom bias. There are people in life who have unbelievable amounts of bracha, and probably it's all of us, but, you know, but l'maisa, there are people who have so much in life. They have wonderful children. They have money. They have good things happening, you know, all over the place. But the problem is, you need a kli machzik bracha. You need something to hold it in, right? Let's say somebody has, he says, I want you to taste the finest wine.
Okay, shear one is now over. I'm just please head to shear two. Shear one is now over. I'm just please head to shear number two.
Right, just give me 30 seconds. So he says, "You have. I want you to taste this. This wine is, the finest wine I've ever. It's $1,000 a bottle. It's delicious. You got to try it." So the guy says, "But I don't have a cup, right? I don't have a cup to put it into. So then I'm going to cup my hands together like this and drink $1,000 bottle of wine. Like it's just not. You can't enjoy it." So he's saying, if you have a home that's filled with bracha and all kinds of good things, but if there's no shalom in the home, then everybody wants to be anywhere but that home. And all the bracha in the world doesn't matter if you don't have shalom. And that's, I think, the message that Chazal chose to end off Shas with, that shalom is the kli machzik bracha. It's not necessarily the only bracha, but it's the kli that brings it all together. And that's why it has to be such a high priority. So if we focus our efforts on shalom, we focus our efforts to say, I want my home to be the type of home that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to live in, will be zoche to hopefully start with the shalom in our own homes and project it outward, and it'll be shalom al Yisrael. Anyway, have a great day. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Good Shabbos.